on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Hello, everybody. Welcome one, welcome all. Welcome back to the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
I'm your host, Cody Vancilolo.
And we have a special guest on. We have Tree City Sports representing K-State. And welcome to the show.
Great to be here. It is going to be a lot of fun this weekend for Farmageddon. We cannot wait. It's always, always an exciting game, no matter what.
Definitely, man. Now, let's talk about K-State's win last week. Give us more insight on how they destroyed Cincinnati.
Well, going into the game against Arizona State coming off the bye, there were some things going on, and they weren't fully prepared for the game. Coach Kleiman wasn't at practice dealing with a family issue. Can't really go into details on that, but I'll leave it at that. He wasn't with the team for most of the week, and so none of the coaches really stepped up to fill that leadership role, and they weren't prepared to play against Arizona State, in which, you know, obviously you saw the result of that. And so going into the game against Cincinnati, there was a lot of talks that were had, you know, at the beginning of that week where we really need to lock in and finish the season strong. And we decided, the coaching staff decided as a group, that we are going to move forward together. And man, it was a lot different with Connor Riley not being up in the booth. Him and Matt Wells were both down on the sidelines, and it looked like a whole different offense, honestly.
Yeah, I know one thing that we were talking about, because one thing that I didn't get was why they were trying to make Avery Johnson a pocket passer when that's not what he is at all. He's better when he's on the run and he can create.
Well, yeah, exactly. And that was part of the discussion at the beginning of the week going into the Cincinnati game. It was Coach Kleiman talked to Connor Riley and Coach Wells and all the offensive coaches and said, hey, our game plan is to cut Avery Johnson loose. Let him do what he does best and play his game. Let him go. Let him have fun. And you saw the result of what happens when Avery Johnson gets to play his game.
Definitely. He's definitely can be lethal and can be dangerous. So let's like really, really dive deep into this preview now. Cody, do you have any thoughts going into this game?
Yeah, there's a lot of history. Like, and this is going to be a special edition of Farmageddon. There's a lot in line here. You're talking Big 12 championship appearance for the Iowa State Cyclones. Kansas State has a far shot in the Big 12, get to the Arlington to play for the Big 12 title. And that's just there's a lot of scenarios that are like being talked about when it comes to Iowa State. But I think with that being said, I think Iowa State, they're going to just be focused on playing Kansas State. I mean, Matt Campbell has his set sight, like he set this in his press conference earlier this week, says like referring to the clinching scenario, said all that other stuff is wasted time, effort, and energy. So he's got his team locked in for this game for Kansas State. And I mean, there's a lot of history for Iowa State, not just to make it to Arlington for the second time in about 4 years. This would be the first time that the Iowa State Cyclones have ever achieved a 10-win regular season in program history in its 133 years of playing football. So, I mean, the fan base, like, they really want, like, Iowa State to be able to get over this hump. And, I mean, that's been one of the big things that Kansas State fans will always bring up when it comes to, like, talking shit about Iowa State. Excuse my language. But, I mean, that's one of the things they always bring up is the fact that Iowa State has never won 10 games. So, Kansas State fans, they will love nothing more than to be able to be the reason that Iowa State does not get over that hump. But Iowa State fans will also like to have Kansas State, beating Kansas State, be the reason they achieve such. So that way they can rub that into Kansas State's face. So there's a lot of animosity here in Farmageddon, and it's to be expected. This is one of the best rivalries in all of college football, and this is the longest uninterrupted series in all of college football, going 107 years ongoing.
Definitely, man. Beer City, obviously, is that what, you know, K-State's, like, mindset going in? Just like, hey, you know, we got to stop Iowa State from winning 10 games. We got to be the ones to do it.
Well, yes, definitely. I mean, that's just the way the rivalry goes. I mean, especially this rivalry, the Farmageddon rivalry, it's just a lot of fun because there's a lot of great interactions between fans and stuff, and it's a great atmosphere. And like I said before, all of the games they're always exciting, no matter what sport we're playing. But definitely, especially in football, they are always close, competitive games. And like he said, yes, absolutely, we would love nothing more than to be the reason that Iowa State doesn't get a 10-win season. But I'll tell you what, even if we stop that from happening, I see a very good potential that Iowa State goes ahead and gets their 10th win and, you know, in the bowl game. So.
Nah, definitely, man. And you know, one thing I will say is that with this Campbell staff, like, before Matt Campbell came, we always found ways to either lose this game or get completely blown out in this game. But to think, like, in that, there's like an 0-2 game where Iowa State started our sixth game and they lost like 62 to something, like, what was it, like 62 to 7 or something like that in Manhattan? And, like, yeah. I mean, and thankfully, and the 2015 game is what got us Matt Campbell. Like, we were up 35 to 14 in that game. We somehow lost 38-35. And, like, basically ever since Matt Campbell came, we had the game in 2016, the controversial 2017 game, which still pisses me off to this day. But, hey, man, 2018, like, basically every single game that Matt Campbell has been in, Matt Campbell has basically had the edge in this series by one game. And now that both Iowa State and K-State are both good at football now this is can finally be a competitive rivalry. This is something that I've been really, really excited about in my time as being an Iowa State fan.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of the other things that I find interesting is that not only the fact that this is the longest ongoing rivalry, you know, in college, but it's one of those that it never feels stale, no matter what. And especially recently, it's just been nothing but excitement and explosions, fireworks, every single game.
Definitely, man. I'm really, really excited to see. So, like, for you, like, what are, like, three things that you would like to see K-State do in order to get the win on Saturday?
Well, number one, I would like it to not be snowing because I kind of have PTSD from last year. And that was the only game that I went to last year that K-State lost. Football game, anyway. Oh, we lost a few basketball games, but we're not going to talk about that.
Oh, boy.
But, it was brutal. It was one of those that not only did we have to sit through that whole game in the snow, but then we had to drive what should have been 2 hours back home, but it took twice as long as that because of the weather. So, yeah, it was not a fun experience all around. But I think that if our defense can not give up the big plays, our secondary, if they can hold tight and, you know, play good on ball defense or on receiver defense, I think that we'll be okay. Just not giving up the big explosive runs, like especially like we gave up last year. And Will Lee, I will take a shot at you because that was the worst effort of making a tackle I've ever seen. So, I mean, he didn't make any attempt.
Yeah, that was a boost
between Mario Kart.
Yeah, I know. It's like, what are we doing here? But, and I think that if we can incorporate Avery Johnson, Dylan Edwards, and DJ Giddens into the offense, all they don't have to be the main centerpiece, but if we get them all on the field at the same time, that opens up our playbook immensely. So they're really dangerous, all three of them, but you put all three of them on the field at once, who are you going to cover?
And that's one of the things that worries me, is because K-State's running game, like, can be lethal, especially when you use Avery and DJ Giddens, who I think is a top back, is one of the top backs in this league, just with the running game and the issues that Iowa State has had in the running game. I think that could be a possible issue. All right, Cody, we're going to go with your three keys, and then I'll go with mine. Cody, you go with your three keys for Iowa State to win.
Yeah, so I guess the first thing is very similar to what you said earlier, and being able to utilize like your playmakers. Iowa State has one of the best wide receiver duos. I think both receivers are at about 1,000 yards. Jaden Higgins is at like 1,018, and Jalen Knowles right there with like 980. So if Rocco Beck is able to get the ball to those, like, their hands, those two can make big plays. I mean, Jaden Higgins is more of your like big play threat. Meanwhile, Jalen Knowles, the guy you can go to get you a chunk yardage. And I think that's going to be the case. And I think what that can do is, well, they'll really test that Kansas State secondary, and they'll see if they can keep up with our wide receiving core, which can allow us to open up the run potentially and open up some play action. Like you saw like a few times throughout the year where we had some really great calls, like play action. So Iowa State, utilize your playmakers and utilize more of the play action. And then on the defensive side, really like be able to hone down on the run game. Yes, our biggest weakness has been a mobile quarterback, but I think that's been a factor because like we really haven't had great linebackers throughout the year. Obviously, we had that stint of just linebacker after linebacker going down with injury, and now you return Will McLaughlin and Jack Sadowski, you get them back to game speed. I think they can do a decent job on the second level at limiting those big plays by Avery Johnson on his feet, and they can limit some big runs by DJ Giddens.
Man, yeah, I'm with you. I'm probably going to be similar to both you guys. Obviously, number one is to, as always, start fast. Every time we've had a fast start, especially last week going into that game, and starting off with the pass, like, I definitely just being unpredictable in play calling against this defense is going to be crucial. Yeah, utilize your playmakers. I think one weakness in this K-State defense is their secondary. So I think definitely the emergence of a third guy will definitely be key. I don't know if Ben Bramer is going to be coming back in this game, but he'd be huge. Gabe Brokaw has came in and stepped up big time in his absence. So just, or, and Eskilton and maybe Dom Overby, other receivers that we have on, and tight ends that we have on this roster. Just a third guy to emerge. For the offensive line, find holes to run through defensively. Tackle at the point of attack. Don't break off tackles and let DJ Giddens or Dylan Edwards get going, because then they can gash us. I do think that with Will McLaughlin and Jack Sadowski being back, I do think that there'll be a lot more sure tackling in that sense. And with the way the D-line's been playing the last two games, I do feel a lot better with the run defense. But so now we're gonna move to predictions right now. So how do you guys see this shaking out? Tree City, you go first, man.
Well, like I said several times, I think it's going to be another close game, because that's what we can expect. I expect quite a bit of scoring on both sides. Yeah. I figure it'll probably be something close to a 34-28 K-State win.
Sure. Okay. Cody?
Yeah, I think I had a very similar score, like kind of like just being coming down the line, just who can throw the last punch. And I think the home field advantage, granted, is going to be very cold, but I think there's going to be enough fans at Jack Trice to really play influence with the way this offense has looked these past couple of weeks. They've looked pretty good. I mean, the game against Cincinnati, the game against Utah, the offense was in a flow. So if the offense is able to keep a flow and stay on the field, I think they can be able to will this team to win. I'd say like 35-31 in favor of the Cyclones, and they're more than likely heading to Arlington.
Gotcha. Man, we have heard throughout all the times in our history, we can't win 10 games. Iowa State's going to be 7-5. Like, Matt Campbell can't win this. They're the most together team. All those things that made fun of Matt Campbell. Nah, man, this time, it's different. We're going to win 34-27. Iowa State wins. We're going to get our 10th win of the season. And I think we head to Arlington. Man, so, like, I mean, just with this one-score game, that I'm excited for this atmosphere. And I believe they did show a peek of the field, Cody, and the field is in red. So I'm thinking that it has to be, like, red jersey, yellow pants. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I know some people were speculating. I think it looked like what you would typically see, the red Iowa State and all of that. I think it's just pretty standard, but it wouldn't hold up against me if I did see us finally bust out the gold pants to go along with maybe the red jersey, maybe the red helmets. Chrome domes would have been nice, but I don't know if we're getting that. But I know some fans have also speculated to be wearing black against Kansas State, because that's the last two home games against Kansas State that I can recall we've worn black.
Uh-huh.
So that might be something that Matt Campbell might go back to, because, I mean, more times than not, worked for him.
That's very, very true. The only time I didn't was in 2022, but that was such a weird game.
That was.
So this is a time that we usually go to our Big 12 segment. If you want to join us for this, we usually just go through and look at all the games.
Yeah, let's get it.
We're going to go through this real quick. I'm going to share that screen. Right. All right, so we're going to go. Sorry about that. Yeah.
There's a lot.
Get out my bifocals.
Yeah. It's a lot of
old people glasses.
Yeah.
We're going to go there and boom. Okay. So we got two Black Friday matches. We have Oklahoma State at Colorado.
I feel so bad for Oklahoma State and the season they've had, because honestly, who could have predicted them to have the season that they've had? And Colorado making a push, you know, especially after the first few games of the year, to really show that they belong, you know, as a top team. I mean, they have played really, really good as of late. And I think that I personally would like to see Oklahoma State get the win, but I don't know that it's going to happen. I think that this Colorado team is locked in and they're ready to play. Although I could see a situation where Colorado is looking ahead towards a potential Big 12 championship game and thinks that this Oklahoma State team is easy pickings and they get upset.
That could definitely easily happen. Cody, what do you think?
That could be true, but I think the loss to Kansas, I think that really humbled this team. I mean, Coach Deion Sanders said himself that they were overconfident, like, preparing for Kansas. They were overlooking. I think they overlooked Kansas. And I think that punch in the mouth made them realize that they got to be better. So I think there could be a possibility where they may potentially overlook Oklahoma State for a possible Big 12 title. But I think after getting punched in the mouth by the Kansas Jayhawks, I don't think they're going to be overlooking Oklahoma State. They're going to make sure that they win this game and take care of their own business and see where everything else falls. So I think Colorado is just going to be too much for Oklahoma State to handle.
Definitely. All right, we got the next matchup, guys. We have the We're Staying at Home Bowl. We got Utah at UCF. Wow, the line is UCF minus 10. Yeah, I have no idea what to think about this game.
Yeah, honestly, it's one of those deals where neither team is in a great position. And it's like, who really wants to lose this game more? Because I think that UCF is getting to the point where they're wanting to make a change with their coaching anyway. And so I think a loss would solidify that decision better for them. But I don't know. It depends. Maybe they do come out and are motivated to get one last win.
Sure. Cody, what do you think?
Yeah, UCF, I'm not sure how this game's going to go, but what's funny is I was while I was watching the Iowa State Utah game, anytime they showed like the Utah UCF promo showed up, my buddies would make a joke. And I don't know, have either of you guys watched like South Park?
Yes.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, my buddies have called this Utah UCF matchup a cripple fight.
Yes. Yes.
This is the definition of one. I just don't know. I don't really care who wins this one. It's just, I'm just going to have probably a fun time watching this game, just laughing.
Yeah. This one, this one's definitely going to be a fun one. That's the battle of which fan base is going to have the most misery. So I mean, secretly, I really hope Utah does, because their fans have been complaining on Twitter all day, and I'm so sick of them.
Yeah.
To be fair, and they deserve it.
They definitely deserve it.
No, this is why my tweet went off, like, when I made the tweet about it at, like, midnight, and I had Utah fans all over my case, but I just, like, well, you guys deserved it. You didn't even play a snap in the conference, and you were already trash in the conference, saying it's a G5 league, and you set this as a transition to go to the Big Ten, and now you're not getting that Big Ten invite, at least anytime soon.
Right. I mean, it's so dumb, bro.
Yeah, I said that several times, you know, before the season even started, you know, talking about Utah fans, that they talk about how bad the Big 12 is. They've never even played a game in the Big 12, so how in the world could they make that judgment? And I also said that this year I would really, really like to see the Big 12 humble them, and so I've been pleasantly surprised by this.
I definitely have, too. I thought they were going to be good, but they've just been absolute dumpster juice.
Yeah, I had them top three, you know, going into the season. I thought they were going to be good, but I'm glad they're not.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I had them number one, and then whoever I had us and you guys as the two and three. So I mean, it's crazy how the mighty have fallen. But man, let's look at this. Let's start looking at the Saturday matchups. Kansas Baylor, AM. KU is a 1.5 point favorite on the road. That is insane.
Yeah. The thing is that KU has been playing a lot better recently. Yeah. And they're actually showing some of the potential that they have with these weapons on offense. And they're actually being able to put together a game plan that works. I think KU really does have the potential to go into Waco and beat Baylor, no problem.
And this is interesting because I don't think KU has ever won at McLane Stadium.
They haven't.
Ooh, something's got to give.
Yeah. I mean, both of these teams are both hot.
Yeah.
Kansas obviously having that 3-game win streak against top 25 opponents. But lest we forget, Baylor is on a 5-game winning streak after losing at Iowa State. They've rattled off 5 straight wins, and outside of TCU, it hasn't been really that close. I mean, they put up at least 45-plus points, or at least 30 or 35-plus points in 4 of those 5 wins.
Yeah.
59 against Texas Tech, 38 against Oklahoma State, 37 against TCU, and 49 against West Virginia. So both teams are coming to this game really hot, and I just think this might look like one of those old-fashioned Big 12 shootouts, the way Jalen Daniels is playing, but also Sawyer Robertson with that with Bryson Washington. Bryson Washington has been like one of the best backs in the league for the past month.
So this one might be, if you're tailgating, this might be a tailgating special while you're eating a burger or whatever, having a beer. This might be a good fun game to watch. Also at 11 a.m., we have West Virginia at Texas Tech, which actually has Big 12 implications, or Big 12 championship implications.
Yeah, and it's bad for West Virginia because they don't have a lot to look forward to this season. I mean, they've gotten a couple of good wins, but really, this season has been a huge disappointment for them. And they're a team that's also looking to make coaching changes in the offseason, or their fans are really wanting them to anyway. And I think that Texas Tech, is it in Lubbock?
Yes, it's in Lubbock.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, no, Texas Tech will take this one. I don't think that there's any doubt of that. Texas Tech has had kind of an up and down season, but I think they're more of a complete team than West Virginia is at this moment.
Yeah, this is interesting. This is going to be an interesting game. Cody, you have any thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think Texas Tech will just take care of business, really, on senior day. And I think West Virginia, they may put up a fight over here. But I think Texas Tech is just going to be able to pull it out, like, late. Maybe, like, a late Taj Brooks touchdown or something like that.
Taj Brooks has been on one the last few weeks, too. So,
yeah. Sorry to my buddy Josh Toney. You know, I know you're my West Virginia guy, but you guys aren't winning this game. And it's probably for the best, because maybe you'll actually fire Neil Brown.
Yeah, they got to stop having that false hope. That's just a disaster. All right. Then at 2:30, we have Arizona State going on the road to Tucson at Arizona. ASU, 8.5-point favorite, 53.5 points over-under.
That's fair. I don't think that Arizona will score that many points, but Arizona State, you know, I think that they'll end up getting the win. And I think that Cam Scataboo will probably have another really big game, and that'll be the deciding factor in who wins or loses.
Yeah, that three, I mean, not just him, but also Jordan Tyson, the connection he has with Sam Levitt, that was a three-headed monster, and I know Kansas State experienced that firsthand when, even though you were able to limit Cam Scataboo, Jordan Tyson went off and scorched your secondary, so you know that they can attack you in multiple ways.
Definitely. Exactly.
So, that one's going to be interesting. And, hey, maybe something could happen, because there's sometimes those random games where Fafita and McMillan can get hot. But I do think that Arizona State wins that one pretty comfortably.
Well, see, and that's the thing, that's the beautiful thing about the Big 12, is because on any given day, any team can beat any other team, no matter where they're at in the season, how their season's going. Any team can beat any team.
And that's the beauty of this conference.
Yep. Don't tell the ESPN shills this, though.
Oh, that's so cute. I don't even want to get into it. Screw ESPN.
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, let's move. Yeah, let's move before we get too heated about that. TCU at Cincinnati. Cincinnati is on the ropes trying to get the bowl eligibility. I mean, they started the season 5-2, and now they've lost four straight. They're reeling, hosting a TCU team that's rebounded from a really bad last year. And I mean, TCU's going bowling, I assume.
Yeah, this one, I don't really have a good read on it. I know TCU has a potent offense. They probably would definitely expose the 3-3-5 that Tyson Vaitre running. It's not going to be as easy as people think. Cincinnati is going to put up a fight. I just see that TCU is a better team. And unfortunately, I think Cincinnati will end the year losing 5 in a row.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that TCU will end up getting the win, but Cincinnati, especially at home, will not go down without a serious fight. It'll end up being one possession game, or maybe a 10-point game, and it'll be close, but I think TCU goes ahead and picks up the win.
Definitely. All right.
Finally.
Yep. Go ahead, Cody.
Yep, we've got our quintessential Big 12 After Dark, which seems like to be a staple this year, but we've got it once again.
It's beautiful.
The Battle of the Cougars. The Battle of the Cougars. We got Houston visiting Provo to take on the number 19 ranked BYU Cougars. BYU, they started off really hot this year, started the season undefeated, but have now lost, dropped two straight after losing to Kansas at home and losing on the road to Cam Scadaboo and the Arizona State Sun Devils, and BYU is going to need some help. They want to get to Arlington.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Go ahead, bro.
Yeah, no, I don't see BYU dropping another game. I think that they realize the position that they're in, that they have to win this game, especially at home, senior night. You know, all the bright lights on you, the Big 12 After Dark. They're not going to lose this game. I think that it'll end up looking like the K-State game at Provo earlier this season.
Yeah, and everybody thought that there could be some upset potential because just got rid of their just fired their offensive coordinator this past week. So I still don't see it. Houston, they're going in the right direction, but yeah, I don't think it's going to be even close in this game. And as you know, if things do go the Cyclones' way, a lot of Cyclones fans will be glued to this game if West Virginia doesn't pull off the win against Texas Tech, because I believe a BYU game would officially send this to the title game.
Yeah.
So with that, that is the conclusion of that, but there are tons of other national matchups that we have just throughout this. We have a tasty one tomorrow.
Yeah, rivalry week. What you asked for, found a week of college football. And tomorrow, you'll be able to really have your feast with Memphis visiting number 17 Tulane. And, I mean, in the latest college football playoff rankings, they have Tulane above Iowa State. They have a sandwich between Iowa State and Arizona State. And some people are saying there's a possibility where if Tulane wins out, they win the American, that they can usurp the Big 12 champion, and alongside Boise State will be in that field of 12.
Which doesn't really make any sense to me, because you got to think about it. If whoever the Big 12 champion is, let's say just for our sake, it's Iowa State. You're going to tell me that you're not going to put an Iowa State that would have won two straight ranked games and Tulane going in? I don't know about that.
Yeah, but, I agree with that, because it's one of those deals that maybe it's the committee's way of sticking it to the Big 12 that you're not really a, you know, powerhouse conference when, you know, the ACC will get a team in at least and everyone else will. How cool would that be if we just snubbed the Big 12 altogether? So I think that it would be very beneficial for everybody if Memphis just goes ahead and wins this game and ends that doubt.
Yes, please, Memphis. Like, the Big 12 is counting on you. Do it, please.
That's also pretty ironic coming from us Iowa State fans when we had to be on the other end of losing to Memphis last year. It's very weird how that turns around. Like, I went... Like, who crazy? The 10-month, like, a few, 11, 12 months ago, we were absolutely hating Memphis because we had to go to their shitbowl of a stadium.
Yeah.
And it was very cold down there. And this has to come from a bunch of my friends who went down to Memphis. They weren't really liking it. And it was basically a glorified home game for them in the Liberty Bowl. So, and now you basically are hoping that Memphis does pull off the upset in New Orleans to take down Tulane, basically, and any chances for the American Athletic Conference champion to usurp the Big 12.
Definitely. And then we have, we're only going to look at some of the matchups, a few that will catch our eye.
How I great guess, would it be if Mississippi State beat Ole Miss?
Which I feel like it doesn't make sense that Ole Miss is still alive after losing to a mid-Florida team, a very, very bad Kentucky team. It doesn't make any sense to me. It would be great, though, if Mississippi State put off the upset.
Yeah, my cousins are actually Mississippi State fans, so for their sake, I'm rooting for Mississippi State as well.
I bet if it somehow ends up like what happened, I don't know what year this was, when it was it Elijah Moore, DJ Moore, got a TD, and then he celebrated by doing the dog taking a piss celebration, ended up costing his team 15 yards and ultimately costed the team an extra point.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yep.
The
Yep.
infamous. That would be the funniest thing to see if it somehow happens again.
Wait a minute, dude. Look at the price of this ticket for Georgia Tech.
Does it?
Wait.
$152? What?
Holy. Wow. Wow. Tickets as low as. That's the bottom, like, that's bottom dollar, like.
No way.
Hold on.
That's gotta
That's
be
the
a
cheapest
typo.
tickets. That's the
No.
cheapest tickets.
Okay.
Yeah, nope. That's a lie. Nope. That is a
Yeah,
lie.
that's a lie. I'm like,
I'm
there's
looking
no
at the
way.
teeth. I literally
400.
clicked the link. The lowest I'm seeing is like 200 some. I'm not sure
Yeah, I was
exactly.
thinking. I was
Okay.
like,
I'm
there's
guessing no
no
CPR.
way.
Those
Well,
have
it
to be
says
like the
as
like
low as, and that's like, ooh.
sideline and other things. Yeah, that's got to be sideline.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I'm like, dude, there's no way somebody's gonna pay $4,300 for that damn game.
To watch
Unless
Georgia blow them out.
unless you're wanting to see somebody on Georgia to pull a George Pickens to start fighting the Georgia Tech secondary.
Look at this ugly. Look at that. We have the I wish they could both lose a matchup in for us, Nebraska versus Iowa.
Yeah, I'm with Nebraska on that. I just the fact that we had some great rivalries with Nebraska, and it was insane when we finally beat them, at home, and that was the biggest deal for us. And like I said, I don't like the Big Ten whatsoever. So if a former Big 12 team can get the win over a Big 10 team, I'll take it.
Cody, what do you think, man?
You know where I stand with Iowa. They
Hey.
outside of K-State, Iowa's like one of those teams I absolutely just hate. Like
Yeah.
I was I can't stand them. I just can't stand them for whatever reason. Like when it comes to Cy-Hawk week, I can't stand them. Like they're the epitome of just a cockroach who never goes away no matter what. And I was glad to win in their stadium this year. I was so glad to see
That
Iowa State
was
win that game. And just to see all the crying Iowa fans, that was a thing of beauty.
the
I want to
surrender
hopefully
group.
see it again against Nebraska. Like
Yes.
I'm sick of Iowa. I'm sick of
I'm
Iowa
thinking of
fans.
the
I'm sick of everything.
Hawks. And as always, bet the under for Iowa. All right, let's go to Saturday. Now, I'm not even gonna talk about the first game because we already know how that's gonna be. But this second game,
Shout
though.
out to Will Howard in Ohio State.
Yeah, they're gonna destroy
Maybe
Michigan.
he'll at least get a natty. I would
Maybe.
love to see a Big 12 get a team get a natty, but if a Big 12 team can't, as him being a former K-State player, I would be all on board with Will Howard getting that honor.
Yeah, Ohio
Only
State
from the
has a
Ohio
very
State.
talented team.
Yes.
But man, Tennessee going on the road to Vanderbilt. I think this is an interesting matchup, but I do think that Tennessee is probably going to end up just pulling away in this game. But I guess there's some interest, but man, South Carolina Clemson actually has some meaning. The battle for the Palmetto State, like, well, I think the at this game actually has playoff implications, and for Clemson, this has conference implications. Like, if they win this game, like, they need some help, but they can get into the ACC championship game.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't know really who to go for here when it comes to Carolina Clemson because like Carolina is like a three loss SEC team, and I know where I stand when it comes to those teams. There's multiple three loss teams that I just can't believe that mainstream sports media is trying to prop up as like a viable contender, and I'm like, no, these three loss teams are like, this is a year where the SEC isn't exactly as out as to be. Like, they try to justify Carolina's selection with their best one being Texas. Well, we'll get to Texas and Texas A, or excuse me, A&M. Yeah, sorry. I got the wrong Texas school, but no, we'll talk about Texas and Texas A&M when we get there. But yeah, I really don't know who to go for here, but I guess if I had to root for chaos, I guess I go Carolina.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and say that I'm rooting for Clemson just based on how great their fans are, especially when they thought there was even a chance of them joining the Big 12. Their fans came out and were so excited. They were as excited as we were. And it was one of those things. It was like a beautiful bonding experience. And we really wish that we could have just hopped on that train and got them aboard. But
yeah, maybe,
man, it was fun for a couple weeks.
2021. Maybe it's just me being still scarred from 2021.
The Cheez-It Bowl. I feel you, Cody.
That's fair.
But I would have loved to see Clemson in the Big 12.
No, same. I would love that.
100%.
This one, we're going to talk about this one mainly just because this is basically in my neck of the woods. If I was not going to the game this weekend, I probably would have been going to this game with my friend. Illinois Northwestern is going to be played at Wrigley Field in Chicago. So Illinois Northwestern at 5-6 trying to get the bowl eligibility. And Illinois comes in at 8-3, having a very good season. Illinois can be 9-3 for the first time, I think, since 2007, which was when they went to the Rose Bowl. But Illinois Northwestern should be an interesting match when this one always goes down to the wire. So I don't know if anybody really has thoughts on this game, but I think Illinois should be able to pull away fairly easy.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the 11 a.m. window. Head down to the 2:30 window.
Yeah.
There are some other games that just take into consideration. You've got Miami playing Syracuse, Cal playing SMU, and Auburn playing Alabama in the Iron Bowl. Now, I know there were some people that were saying that Syracuse could possibly play spoiler for Miami, given that playing the JMA Dome, and the Dome is known for blowing Syracuse some wild wins, and I think some people are thinking that Syracuse could pull off the upset here against Miami. Do you guys think that's the case?
I do, man. Miami has been playing it close all year, and really since last weekend, like week one against Florida, they really haven't had any dominant wins, but Miami-Syracuse definitely could be a trap spot for Miami.
Then you've got Cal-SMU. I mean, SMU is just basically trying to lock in their spot, and I think they're more than likely going to. So I expect that one to be an SMU win. And then you've got the Iron Bowl. Auburn traveling over to Tuscaloosa to take on the number 13, Alabama Crimson Tide. Alabama, they're still in the race. They are, even as a three-loss SEC team, they're still in the race to possibly go to the college football playoff.
This is the dumbest thing ever. I'm going to rant about this. The fact that Alabama, you know what, yes, they have dominated this decade, and yeah, maybe they should deserve the benefit of the doubt, but like, man, this Alabama team is not good. Like, you're only going to punish them and only make them go down six spots by losing to a mid-Oklahoma team that they lost to by 3 touchdowns. And then you're not going to even punish them for losing to a mid-Vanderbilt team. Like, come on, man. Like ESPN is in bed with the SEC. It's just, like, the total bias. It's so irritating. And, like, I for one, am, like, so tired of it.
Yeah, no, the bias is real. And it's obvious to literally everybody else that they're trying as hard as they can to hype up these three-loss SEC teams. And I think it would be all too fitting to have Auburn beat Alabama to just put the final nail in the coffin in their hope.
Please, Auburn, the Big 12 is begging you. Please. Please. Alabama is even begging you. They're begging you to take them out of their misery.
Yeah, I know. I think Auburn might have the capability to do so. I mean, they were able to beat Texas A&M, so that could happen. And then speaking of Texas A&M, you've got a renewed rivalry with Texas going down to College Station, going to Kyle Field to take on the number 20 Texas A&M Aggies. Now, this game has does have SEC championship importance. I think it's a win-and-in situation, I think, for both teams, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is. If Texas wins, they go. If A&M wins, they go. But if you think about it Texas-wise, Texas, if you look at their schedule, they really haven't had any really marquee wins at all. And the chance that they had to get a marquee win, they lost at home by 15 to Georgia. It wasn't even close. I mean, for A&M, will they rebound? And with A&M, this is like a chance for them to legitimize themselves in the SEC to finally get to a SEC championship. That's something that they've been trying to get to for the first time they've been a part of that conference, and just finally seeing this rivalry again after 10 years in 2011. I remember watching that last game when they were members of the Big 12. So that this one is going to be fun to watch. Another one I'm looking at which starts at 7.
Hang on, I got a thought on the Texas A&M game.
Sure.
So Colin Klein, the offensive coordinator for Texas A&M, I love you to death. I hate to root against you, and I hate Texas. I absolutely hate Texas. But I'll tell you why I'm rooting for them. Because how great would it be to have a Big 12 team win the SEC championship in their first year in the conference?
I mean, it really tells you something. Like, because Bama's down, Georgia really has been looking shaky. Tennessee.
Ole Miss is just, they were expected to be more than what they are now. Yeah. This would just be hilarious to see a Big 12 team who they've been bashing down for the longest time. Now you have a former Big 12 team come in and take over your conference in the first year. They're on a similar war path as SMU and the ACC. But yeah, rivalry week, there's a lot of games to look forward to. And I think everybody's going to be glued to the TVs just to see how certain scenarios go out, especially in the Big 12, because, again, there is mathematically possibility for 9 teams to go to the Big 12 title game.
So yeah.
Have a higher probability than others, but there is a way.
There's a chance.
There's always a chance in this crazy conference. Tree City, thank you for joining us. If you can tell everybody and the listeners where they can find you.
Yeah, absolutely. We are on X, Twitter. I hate calling it X. It's Twitter. That's just how it is. We're on Twitter at Tree City Sniper, at Tree City Sports, at Storm the Field Kansas State. You know, go check out our new Kansas State podcast. And we're even doing one, I hate to say this, for our KU friends as well. So, a lot of great content coming out from Tree City Sports in the future. I cannot tell you how excited I am to join the show. I know we've tried to link up a few times, and on my end, I didn't get it recorded, but I think we found a way now to make it work.
Definitely, man. I'm really, really excited to be a part of this team for the Tree City Sports Iowa State page. I'll be a contributor to that page. So look forward to seeing content from that page. And I look forward to joining that team. Thank you guys for joining the Believe in Iowa State podcast. As always, you can find me and Cody. Cody can be found at Matt Campbell Impersonator. I am at SciTie Guy. We have 5 different forms, 5 different social media pages for Believe in Iowa State, BLEAV. We can be found on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. So for Tyler Carter.
For Cody Vanciello.
For CJ McClure, Tree City Sports.
This is the Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Y'all take Aaron out. Go Cats.